at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And it is 95.3 WBEV. We are back for more community comment. It is brought to you in part by Professional Floor Covering. And Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinet tile, shower inserts, and more. They are an Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam, and they can take care of your countertops in your kitchen or your bathroom. The material, color, and pattern of a countertop all play a major role in how a kitchen or bathroom remodel will turn out. They offer a large selection of quartz, granite, marble, and laminate countertops. They'll help you find the perfect countertop that fits with both your lifestyle and design. Now, without further ado, here is community comment on 95.3 WBEV and Terry Bell.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. This is community comment, and when bad things happen, you know, most of us run away from the emergency, but firefighters, they run toward it, and we're going to talk more about that today for the next hour with Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa. Welcome back to community comment, B.J. Always good to see you.
Yeah, always great to be here, Terry.
Well, you know, it's still a very fresh topic on the minds of people around Dodge County, even though it's been about 3 weeks or so. But we're still recovering from the tornadoes, still talking about the May 15th tornadoes. And even though Waupun wasn't necessarily the hardest hit of any of the communities in Dodge County, your department played an important role in making sure people were okay that night.
Yeah, so to your point, obviously, you know, we were fortunate enough to be spared in that event. But, you know, leading up to that whole afternoon and evening, the Weather Service had put out plenty of information that all the ingredients were there for severe weather. So, you know, for our department locally, you know, our focus was on having spotters out, kind of watching the storms come in. You know, watching different news feeds, our own radar that allows us to see things that the National Weather Service is seeing. So we had our folks out doing our local spotting. And once the threat kind of cleared the area, hearing that there were situations that were going on throughout the Juneau to Mayville corridor, we started reaching out to a few fire departments down in that area to see if we could be of any support. And we got as far as climbing. There was some equipment that we were asked to go retrieve and start heading in Mayville's way. And then we ended up getting canceled prior to being able to get folks there. But, you know, it's a great example of how in those bigger events, fire departments across many counties work so well together. We've just got a great system in place to be able to kind of ramp up or ramp down in terms of getting equipment and people in place to help.
That has to be one of the biggest challenges. I can imagine preparing for severe weather. We have more accurate weather forecasting abilities than ever before. So, you know, we know that there is a very good chance of something bad happening very soon. But I imagine in that moment, there's just no way to know where a tornado is going to strike, where a, you know, lightning is going to strike. You don't know until it actually happens, or tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. And that was one of the things that the National Weather Service had talked about specifically that day, was that, you know, we were going to be in the middle of peak heating, and all the ingredients were already there. So, you know, when you combine all the ingredients and then you talk peak heating, that's usually when the storms are going to be at their most prime for development. So all of this is taking place at the time that they're moving through our area. You know, you don't have the ability to be able to say, okay, you know, we've seen these storms coming across the state. We kind of know what they've been doing as they've moved across the state. And, you know, they may be dying off because they're losing some of that instability in the atmosphere to continue to grow and get stronger. when all of that is taking place as they're coming through our area, you know, it really, folks may get very, very little warning in terms of, okay, we've confirmed a tornado is on the ground and you need to take shelter.
You talked about the communication you had with other departments in the area before the storm. How often are you talking with your counterparts in other jurisdictions about what might happen?
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, we do anything specific like the day of, but fire departments across the state, we utilize what we call a MABIS. So that's an acronym for a Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. So MABAS. And every department goes through, and there's different call types. So in this particular case, every department would have what we call a disaster card. So in those situations, we can sit down months, a year ahead of time and be able to say, okay, if a tornado were to come through our community, this is what we would think we would need for equipment. And we can break that into five different levels. So if it's, you know, of some significance, we can go to like a first or a second level on that particular card type. Or if it's, you know, completely devastating, we can go all the way down to the fifth level. And really what that does is it's an agreed upon system. Departments can talk and say, yes, I can send you a fire engine or I can send you personnel. It's all stuff that departments have agreed upon ahead of time. So it really makes those big events far more seamless in terms of getting the help quickly.
And I have to imagine that it's even more important in this day and age when, especially in rural parts of the United States, rural parts of Wisconsin in particular, you know, small volunteer fire departments are having a hard time, you know, getting enough people. So it seems like these mutual cooperation efforts are all the more important at a time like that.
Yeah, for sure they are. You know, and we even see it, you know, in our particular area. We've got Beaver Dam here in Dodge County, Beaver Dam in Watertown. We've got Fond du Lac up in Fond du Lac County. But even for those career departments, you know, to be able to get people to come back in on those bigger events, not only do we see the mutual aid between the smaller volunteer departments, but there's an equal reliance from the full-time departments to get help in. And you know, those volunteer departments are certainly assisting the career departments as well.
Very good. We're getting into the summer months here, and when we come back on Community Comment, we're going to talk a little bit about fireworks safety as summer heats up. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
The 2025 Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon, It's For the Kids Golf Outing, was a huge success. We'd like to thank Old Hickory Golf Club for hosting this year's event, and also our fine partners, JB Mechanical, United Wisconsin Grain Producers, American Bank, QBS Law, Newman Pools, GPS Ed, Gardner Manufacturing, Neuberger Griggs Sweet and Froelich, LLP, and WDS Construction. Don't forget, the Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon is June 26th and 27th.
You know that old Wisconsin saying, if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes. Well, JB Mechanical is here to ensure your home's heating and cooling system is ready for all of it. As your trusted local HVAC expert, JB Mechanical installs top-of-the-line systems to keep your home comfortable no matter what Mother Nature throws at you. From chilly mornings to warm afternoons, they've got you covered with precision, care, and expert service. Invest in your comfort today and give JB Mechanical a call online at jbmacllc.com, your proud trained dealer.
Shop the market at Beaver Dam. Juicy Angus Pride boneless beef sirloin tip steak is $6.99 a pound. Prepare fall off the bone St. Louis style spare ribs for $3.49 a pound. Whole or half racks, it's your call. Add color to your plate with fresh strawberries or raspberries, two for $5. And no shopping trip is complete without Cheetos, Fritos, or Funyuns. Grab three for $9.99. Bonus tip, use your market app and get a free 24-ounce Our Family ketchup. Because what's summer without a squirt of ketchup? Shop and save with the market at Beaver Dam.
Bikers need protection, not just from other drivers, but unfortunately from insurance companies too. If you've been injured in a motorcycle crash, call Groover Law Offices today. Bikers are often blamed for causing the accident because the insurance companies simply don't want to pay. At Gruber Law Offices, we've been fighting for injured bikers and their families for more than 30 years. Trust us to fight for what you deserve. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake Hayes. We are talking with BJ DeMa,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay,
yep.
I don't know why I tripped over that so badly.
That's all right.
But thanks for the assist.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's summertime now. We're well into June, and fireworks, something that used to be kind of a rarity, are now ubiquitous just about everywhere. They're popular, but they're also pretty dangerous, and that's, I imagine, a big part of your job this time of year is responding to calls like that.
Yeah, it's really trying to get out in front of the season and, you know, just make sure folks are educated on what is legal, what's not legal in the state of Wisconsin. You know, unfortunately, around any holiday, alcohol can come into play. And understandably, alcohol and fireworks are two things that usually do not go very well together.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, is it fairly predictable when these calls will pick up in the summertime or not?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it's predictable. I would say departments are usually maybe on slightly higher alert in terms of, we know they're out there. You start seeing the roadside stands popping up. You see them in gas stations, the little displays that folks can buy them at now. So I would say they're more readily available this time of year. So we do occasionally see increases in call volumes around that, whether it's on the fire side for, you know, a fire incident, or on the medical side where, you know, somebody gets seriously hurt.
I was just going to mention that you have, you know, two different aspects of the problems they can cause. Let's talk about the obvious one, since, you know, you do lead a fire department, and that is, you know, buildings catching on fire because of people maybe not being careful enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and this time of year for our department, we've already had an instance with an individual that two younger individuals playing with a firecracker, and, you know, they lit it, they were holding on to it, and got scared. They threw it and ended up starting a portion of the Horicon Marsh on fire. Fortunately, we were able to get out and control the fire relatively quickly, kept it to under an acre. But just a perfect example there of how quickly something that would seem so innocent can really turn into something bigger. You know, bottle rockets, we've had issues with that in our community where they end up in a, you know, in a rain gutter. And there's the whirly birds or leaves that, you know, dry vegetation that can easily start on fire. They end up in a wood pile. You know, I think a number of years ago, there was actually a fire down at Patrick Cudahy down in Milwaukee that was a result of a bottle rocket that ended up on a roof there. So in the state of Wisconsin, if it leaves the ground and explodes, it's illegal.
So how easy is it for people to get that kind of illegal firework, though? Because it doesn't seem, the law just doesn't seem to prevent these things from happening, at least, you know, on a anecdotal scale.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think some of it is education. You know, as departments, we try to educate. You know, for some of the fireworks stands, they'll tell you, well, we can give you a permit. That permit is essentially the ability for you to transport those fireworks from the spot you purchased them at to get them to your home. It still needs to be approved by the local jurisdiction. So there are some that will issue firework permits for you to do that, which therefore does make them legal. There's others that do not. For the city of Waupun, the only way we allow them is a permit with a licensed insured company. So our annual fireworks celebration is on any typical year is usually the only approved firework demonstration that we allow in our community.
We've had plenty of rain in recent weeks, but I'm wondering if we're still technically out of the drought and how dry things are they around here at this time of year, and how much at risk are we of maybe a fire that could easily get out of control quickly?
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that any given point in time, you know, a fire could get out of control relatively quickly. You know, in terms of the weather, the rain that we've had, it has certainly helped. We've pretty much pushed through spring green up, so those are always good things. It does make fire a little bit harder to get started, but you know, in the case of our fire at the Horicon Marsh, there was still plenty of dry vegetation that you know, the wind could easily have pushed that fire, and it could have grown to a pretty substantial size.
We also wanted to talk about the medical side of the fireworks issue, and you know, people get hurt very badly. What sorts of situations have you seen in your years as a firefighting professional?
Yeah, I think usually what we see is, you know, the fireworks, you know, somebody has it in their hand, they don't let it go quick enough, they think it's out, they pick it up, and then it ends up going off. Hands and eyes typically are the two areas that we see the most issues with in any given year across the United States for the injuries. And again, it's just people picking up something that they shouldn't. They're standing over something that they think didn't light, and then it goes off. So just you end up in a bad position, and the firework ends up deploying. And it can lead to some pretty life-altering injuries for sure.
Yeah. What sorts of things have you seen?
You know, you start talking about something ending up in an eye, so it could be blindness, it could be burn injuries. You know, we think sparklers is a perfect example. You know,
and they would seem, I guess, to the average person to be maybe the most harmless of all fireworks, but they can do some damage.
They can. You know, I think back to my childhood, you know, you light a sparkler, you ran around the house, it would go out, you grab the next one, and you do the same thing over and over again. But you know, a sparkler is burning in excess of 1,200 plus degrees. So you think about burn injuries, and you know, is there anything else that burns at 1,200 degrees that you would give your child and say, "Here, go run around with it"? So it's you know, it's the explosion, it's the burn injuries that's typically what we see, what the emergency rooms see across America every year.
Let's talk about celebrations of maybe a happier kind, and you're getting ready for Celebrate Waupun.
Yeah, a huge festival. I'm not even sure how many years that's been going on in the city, but 3 days of a lot of fun. We've got three great bands lined up. I believe we've got Boogie and the Yo-Yos coming in on Friday night. Saturday night, we've got Vic Ferrari, and then I believe on Sunday, we've got a band called Smart Mouth, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, but yeah, in addition to the band on Friday night, great fish fry that's put on. We do water barrel fights, so local fire departments get to battle it out. We've got a big barrel that's up on a cord or a cable, and two teams battle it out to try and push the barrel over the other team's head. And that's always a good friendly rivalry between local departments on who's the best. So, and then, yeah, Friday, Sunday night, we wrap up with our 4th of July fireworks show.
Yeah, and it sounds like a perfect opportunity to, you know, celebrate summer and have some fun and be with people without necessarily putting yourself and others at risk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let the professionals deal with the big fireworks shows, and you can ooh and ah all you want at the big show.
And what are the dates for Celebrate with Fun?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think June 27, 28, and 29, if my memory serves me correctly.
I'm going to consult the Google machine. Come on, Terry. Oh, my goodness gracious. And it is, should have had this up much earlier, but I believe you're correct. Machine's moving slowly, but yeah, it's coming up soon.
Yeah.
And people have a lot to look forward to.
Yep. No, certainly something down there for the entire family. You know, there is a Midway. There's a lot of other vendors that come in, food trucks, lots of stuff for the kids to do, and just a great time for the family to celebrate together.
Yep, Friday the 27th through Sunday the 29th.
Perfect.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brat Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brat Fry schedule, visit daily.com.
From the biggest stars to the greatest moments, Behind the Bucks is Bucks history like you've never heard it before. Go behind the scenes of the Emmy-nominated Giannis documentary. Get the real story of the blockbuster trade for Damian Lillard. Hear the origin of Bucks in 6. It's all on Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
The best place to hear your favorite song is in a bed from Slumberland Furniture. There's plenty of great music in here at the Slumberland Furniture Studio on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court ruling unanimously that Catholic Charities does not have to pay employment taxes in Wisconsin. The charity sued, saying the state violated religious freedom guarantees when it ordered to pay the unemployment tax while exempting other faith-based groups. And the Supreme Court agreed. Tomorrow we get numbers on monthly numbers. Today we got weekly numbers on unemployment, how many people have been filing for them.
While economists were anticipating a decline in weekly jobless filings, initial claims for state unemployment benefits rose by 8,000 to 247,000 in the week ending May 31st. It was the second consecutive rise in filings. On Friday, the Labor Department releases its assessment of the job market for all of May.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan. According to Chinese media, President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping have spoken amid stalled trade negotiations between both countries, the confirmation confirmed by the Chinese foreign ministry. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
I'm Terry Bell. Bail is $500,000 for a De Pere teenager who led Fond du Lac authorities on a destructive high-speed chase last Friday. Caitlin Ray allegedly traveled 80 miles an hour on a 25-mile-an-hour residential street at one point. 8 vehicles were damaged in a one-block area, and 3 people got hurt. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for July 18th. The mayor of Mayville estimates damage in the city from May 15th's tornado is anywhere from $60 to $70 million. However, Rob Belk says the city will not be eligible for federal disaster relief. He says about 95% of the cleanup is already done. People can donate to the Mayville Disaster Relief Fund at P.O. Box 273 in Mayville. The public can check out Watertown's new fire station this weekend. An open house is planned for Sunday afternoon. Fire Chief Tanya Rainin says the new building will serve their needs much better than the old station. And the Wisconsin State Patrol handed out more than 1,300 citations during its two-week Click It or Ticket special enforcement campaign from May 19th through June 1st. The enforcement program raised awareness about seatbelt safety. 176 people who weren't wearing their seatbelts died in Wisconsin crashes last year. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 75. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 56. Tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 72. Cloudy Saturday with highs in the low 70s. Thunderstorms likely Sunday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV. Powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 71.
It's easier than ever to check your annual mammogram off your to-do list. Walk into Prairie Ridge Health in Columbus on the last Tuesday of any month to get your yearly mammogram. No appointment or referral needed. If you're over 40 years old and due for a yearly screening mammogram, just bring your insurance card and the name of your physician with you. Visit anytime between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on the last Tuesday of every month. Learn more about the walk-in program and confirm upcoming dates at prairieridge.health.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like fences. A house with a big yard and a white picket fence was always the dream. But then you saw the price to install a fence and you're wondering if the color is driving the price up. Nobody ever dreams of a beige or a gray picket fence, right? So maybe those fences are cheaper. But no, they're not. Then you remember that switching your home and auto to Progressive could save you hundreds and make all your dreams of a fence come true. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology.
See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. It's brought to you in part by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Over at McKinstry's, you can get anything framed with their picture framing services. They're also celebrating their 167-year anniversary, and you can find their website, McKinstry'sHomeFurnishings.com. Visit there in person at downtown Beaver Dam on Front Street under the red awning. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They've even framed a guitar. Best of all, you will be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You will be very happy you did. And now here's more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV with Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake Hayes. We're talking with BJ DeMa, the chief of the Waupun Fire Department, talking about all kinds of things that have to do with safety, fire, and helping get people out of some serious jams. Especially we've had with tornadoes recently. We're getting into the heart of the fire season, and we appreciate you coming by to talk with us about those things. Fires can happen anywhere. You even have to deal with fires in your own facilities. And you had a big, scary incident happen just last week.
Yeah, we ended up getting paged out the middle of the night, actually, for a water flow alarm that was going off at our utilities building in town. While we were en route, we did have officers arrive on scene and had reported they could see smoke in the building through the windows and the door, and they could hear water running. So we knew we had something going on when crews got there, made entry into the building, and walking into the big storage garage, which is where all the utility vehicles are stored, some of their towable equipment. We had smoke banked down to roughly about 3 feet off the ground. So imagine just walking into a room filled with smoke, and you need to kind of feel your way around and figure out what's going on. We have a device called a thermal imaging camera that kind of sees through the smoke, and it gives us an idea on where the heat is. Firefighters were able to identify a truck that was on fire in the building, and a sprinkler system in the building had really kept it confined to the truck. And they were able to go in, finish putting the fire out, and get the system shut down. And then a lot of time spent trying to get all the smoke out of the building and do a better evaluation of what was going on.
I can imagine the truck is a complete loss, or is it?
Yep. The interior of the vehicle was completely totaled.
What kind of shape is the building in?
Again, thankfully, with the sprinkler system in, other than probably just a deep cleaning, the building is salvageable. But when we talk about sprinkler systems, Hollywood never does us any favors, because in the movies, you know, they'll show that every single sprinkler head is going off, and it's just a complete deluge of the entire building. And that's just not how those systems work. Typically, in this case, the sprinkler head above the truck, that's where the heat was. The heat is what allowed the glass bulb that holds that water at bay. Once the heat breaks the bulb, that's what allows that particular head to open up, flow water, and that is really what saved not only all the other vehicles in that building, but it is what saved the building itself probably as well.
Absolutely. So what kind of a difference did it make to have that thermal imaging equipment to be able to, I imagine, work a lot faster than maybe firefighters could in the past?
Yeah, no, the thermal imaging camera is just one example of a piece of equipment that does exactly like you said. It allows departments or firefighters to be able to move through a building a little bit quicker. There's still the sounding of the floor and the different things that we do to move throughout the building safely, especially when, all you have at your disposal is feel. You think about how familiar you are with your own home. If you were to ever just close your eyes and try to walk through your own building, you got an idea of where things are, but it's certainly not as expeditious as it would be with your eyes open. So
bumped my toe on a table leg in the dark in my own home.
Absolutely. Yep. So, that thermal imaging camera for us allows us to see through the smoke in some regards, and it really provides us with a real quick snapshot of, okay, we know we've got heat over here. This is an area that we need to explore, and from there we use our other senses to be able to get there as quick as we can.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there are a certain amount of buildings in your jurisdiction with which you have plans, or at least some access to know, how to get around any particular building should it catch on fire?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So we have pre-plans for every one of our commercial buildings in town. We try to identify where are the gas shutoffs, if it's got an alarm system, where is the alarm system located, sprinkler system. Are there any key things that we would need to know about it? Maybe it's hazardous material storage in an area. All different things that we can use to better, address the situation. It could be fire hydrant locations, so that if we've got multiple units that need to be pumping, where are the hydrants located? What are the flow rates on those fire hydrants so that we're not collapsing water lines under the ground and creating infrastructure problems for Waupun utilities that they would have to address.
Absolutely. You were talking about the way that fires and firefighting are portrayed in the movies sometimes. And I was wondering if there are some kind of stubborn misconceptions about your work that persist, some, you know, misguided notions that people have about fires and the work you do.
Yeah. You know, I guess one of the questions I typically come across, or I shouldn't say maybe questions, one of the comments is, oh, I've watched Chicago Fire. well, everything you see on Hollywood is not always accurate. And, you know, unfortunately, some of those things, you know, it does give the public a very unrealistic view of what actually takes place and what goes into firefighting and the preparedness pieces. Probably the biggest thing is the equipment. You know, what firefighters need to wear in a building to be safe, not only for that incident, but we talk about the long term. One of the big things in the fire service nowadays is cancer, and just the toxicity of the smoke in today's fires is so much more dangerous than what it used to be. You know, 20, 30 years ago when we had natural fibers, everything is synthetic today. And that smoke, we're really starting to get a feel for the adverse health effects that's taking on firefighters 15, 20 years later in their career.
That's going to be a problem, I understand. You know, there are people who want to, maybe when they're discarding composite materials, like they're popular for decks and that sort of thing, that you don't have to maintain quite as much as wood, so it's popular that way. But there are people who seek to dispose of that when the time comes they feel they're done with these materials, and they don't necessarily know what they're putting up into the air.
Yep.
With, like you say, these hazardous chemicals that they're made out of.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, you know, going back to the fire that we had at our utilities building, you know, once everything is out, once we had the building, what we thought was ventilated well, we now go through the building with a four-gas meter. One of the things that we're looking for there is carbon monoxide. To make sure none of that is in the air that could present an issue for our firefighters to basically take off their air pack and just be able to breathe the air that's in the building. The other thing that we check for is hydrogen cyanide. Anything cyanide is obviously not good for a person. So, but some of those, you know, we're measuring in the parts per billion. To where it can be toxic for not only the firefighters, but, you know, anybody that would be in the building. So, you know, the pre-planning, while we've got that in place for our commercial facilities, it's also so important for people in their homes to practice your escape plans. How would you get out of your house safely if there were to be a fire? You know, knowing that you need to crawl low, stay below as much of the smoke as possible. It's so critical for folks in today's world with the materials that are used.
If we're talking about cancer, then these materials must have been around a long time for us to start seeing effects now. So, you know, how long have we known about this problem?
I think it's becoming more known. And again, you know, we had a period of time there where we moved from what we call legacy materials, which again, you know, cottons, actual wood. And we moved into where synthetics became more prevalent. And, you know, I think within the fire service, probably we were slow to react and acknowledge that, okay, there are differences in this material. So as more data becomes available, we're able to make smarter, better decisions for our firefighters to ensure their safety long-term, that, you know, we maybe didn't have 10, 15 years ago. It just unfortunately has taken a period of time for us to look back and say, oh, this is a problem. And, you know, we need to draw that line in the sand now to say, okay, we need to keep our folks safe. And to do that, this is what it requires.
We're talking about fire safety with Waupun Fire Chief BJ DeMa. We're going to take a quick break here, then be right back on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Hello, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. I invite you to stop in and discover the Power Lift Chair Recliners. We have the largest selection in Dodge County, ready and available for prompt delivery. With the touch of a button, these chairs lift you to a standing position or recline you to a comfortable nap. You can even get a lift chair with heat and massage in it or an adjustable headrest and lumbar support. Some models even have cup holders and wireless phone chargers. There are a variety of sizes in stock, from small to the big man's. Prices start at only $799. Don't worry about the power going out because the lift chairs come with a battery backup. Delivery is free. If your loved one needs a lift chair in their room at an assisted living facility, McKinstry's will deliver it. McKinstry's is a lift chair service center. McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam. Use the entrance in the tower parking lot, which is handicap accessible.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings.
Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly has everything you need for lake days, backyard barbecues, and tailgate traditions. All varieties of Fox Brothers Certified Angus Beef Third Pound Gourmet Tailgate Burgers are just $5.99 a pound. Or try juicy Fox Brothers Brat Patties, only $4.99 a pound. Pile them high on fresh bakery-style Sheboygan Hard Rolls. The six count is just $1.99. Cool off with fresh-cut seedless watermelon at only 69 cents a pound and pick up bi-color sweet corn, 5 for $3. Keep easy snacks on hand with Old Dutch pretzels or Restaurante tortilla chips, 2 for $5. And Frito-Lay 18-count variety packs are just $9.99. Empower up your summer with Prime Hydration, 2 for $3. Or kick back and refresh with a 12-pack of Mighty Swell Spiked Seltzer, just $10.99. Savor summer and shop Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly in Beaver Dam and Mayville. Online at foxbrospigglywiggly.com.
Shop the pig!
Summer deals are heating up at St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County. From clothing and furniture to housewares and even sporting goods, there's something for everyone. Whether you're updating your space, refreshing your wardrobe, or gearing up for your next adventure, St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County has you covered. Cool down with hot prices that won't burn your budget. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., right on Dodge Drive in Beaver Dam. Shop, save, support St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County.
God bless from your friends at St. Vincent de Paul.
I'm Corey Sparks here live at our Brat Fry at the Dent Clinic on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. You can stop on down at 1321 North Spring Street, next to the radio station, actually, for a Pernod's Premium Brat with a soda or water for just the combination of $2. Plus, take your shot at our 95K Sizzlin' Sweepstakes and see if you can crack the prize vault, get the right combination of six digits, and win $95,000. I'm now joined by Austin here from Dent Clinic. Austin, thank you for joining us. Let's say we have a hailstorm, which we did, along with tornadoes and other inclement weather a couple of weeks ago, and I've noticed some damages on my hood. I take my car in, see your team. What does the process kind of look like from there?
Yep, so the first thing that comes by is you're gonna come in, we'll take a look at it, and be like, yep, this is a great candidate for PDR. We'll start writing an estimate. It takes about, 15 to 30 minutes to write that estimate. We document all the damage across everything. With your claim number, we can submit that on your behalf to the insurance companies to make things easy. The claim number is the unique key for the insurance companies. If you don't have that, they don't want to see your damage on that. If you already have initial estimate, if they sent you to one of their CAT sites or anything like that, or they had you send in photos, great, you got the initial estimate. All we have to do is we get you scheduled in for the repairs. We handle it from there to take care of everything. We make it as seamless and easy as possible.
Awesome. What's your favorite part about kind of serving this community and being an asset, especially after the storms we saw a couple of weeks ago?
Besides coming up here as, I used to play basketball at St. Cat's
down
the road, across there, or come up here for the restaurants because I just live down the river on the Crawfish River. But my favorite thing is putting all the smiles back on people's faces, because the vehicles are second most expensive purchase that they have. They want to go through and make sure things are taken care of. They want things done right, and they want to trust the local experts. We're based here in Wisconsin, but down in Brookfield. I just love making people smile. I love helping people out. I love being part of the community, hence why when we have the Brat Fry, I like bringing in locals to help and assist with everything.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for the time, Austin. 1321 North Spring Street, the place to be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to get that brat soda, just $2 for that combination, and then get your car serviced if you've got any damages.
These are the happenings in your community. thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back here with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV with our last segment here. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake Hayes. We are talking with BJ DeMa, the fire chief in Waupun, about a lot of different topics. But one we really think is important to talk about is your efforts to bolster your volunteer force. And last time you were here, I believe back in March, you were talking about your efforts to get more recruits. And it sounds like those efforts are paying off.
Yeah, so back in January, actually would have been going back even into 2024, we had put together a recruitment and retention committee. And, you know, they really wanted to take a closer look at what are things that as a department we can be doing better, doing differently to try and recruit new members. And yeah, we are starting to see some of those dividends pay off. This particular hiring process, we've got six or seven candidates, I believe, right now that are loaded into our system right now and are working through our pre-employment process. And then we've also been working on a youth apprentice program with our local high schools here for a number of years. It was an intern program that that we had originally kicked off, I believe it was 5 years ago now. And last year, we transitioned it into the Youth Apprentice Program, which is a nationally recognized program that provides some benefits to the student in terms of credits for not only high school, but that can also be applied then to college. And the early indications are that is looking like a very good program for us as well.
And you're reaching younger and younger people all the time, as you mentioned. Yep. These efforts go into the high schools now. And in fact, high school students can, you know, earn college credit towards these careers and be pretty well prepared shortly after high school graduation day.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point, Terry. You know, you talk about the younger generation. And you know, I think the health of any department is, you know, as the years go by, is you kind of get members that are in different chunks. And, you know, those different chunks represent different generations, different age groups. And, you know, I think a healthy department is you've got folks that are spread across each one of those different age groups so that, you know, when your older folks are ready to pass the torch and hand it off to the next generation, you've got a good influx of those folks, and then the two or three age groups after that are equally stocked, so that it becomes that nice smooth transition from generation to generation.
What sorts of appeals do you make to young people when you're talking with them? Are we talking about careers, or are we talking about volunteering?
Yeah, I think it's really both. You know, for our youth apprentice students, those are usually individuals that are considering it as a career. So, you know, giving them an opportunity to be able to come in and really, you know, learn what it's all about. You know, the medical side, the fire side, and make those decisions. Yeah, this is something I could see myself doing. You know, not only is it the training, but it can be conversations with the students as well to say, hey, you know, these are things that you're going to have to do well. This is what employers are looking for. And really, it's trying to help set them up for success on the career side. But we've always got folks, too, that, you know, they're happy in the full-time work that they do, and they're really just looking for an opportunity to be able to give back to their community. And, you know, there's always plenty of volunteer opportunities in a community, but we like to think that the fire service is, you know, really one of those very rewarding jobs in that you're helping folks in a time of need, and if you've never done it, it's truly hard to explain. But It's a feeling of I made a difference to somebody today.
That would be such a tremendous motivator, because you know you're asking people to drop everything they're doing, you know, at the drop of a hat, yep. To do something that could be extremely dangerous. And, you know, you're asking them to do that for no compensation at all. This is really a tremendous way to volunteer.
Yeah, and you touch on two really important points there. It's, you know, this is a job that we always say fire doesn't discriminate. So, you know, a burning building, I don't care if you're a career firefighter. I don't care if you're a volunteer firefighter. At the end of the day, we're all professionals. We've all gone through the training. The expectation of the community is that people that are going to be able to solve the problem are showing up. So in that regard, this is a profession that can kill you regardless of your level of training. But two, for those individuals that do have the full-time job, it is impossible to really accurately describe the dedication that it takes for them to drop what they're doing, leaving a work, leaving a family event. You know, there's so many different situations where they get pulled away that it's you can truly never value those individuals enough.
BJ DeMaa, the fire chief of Waupun, the hour has flown right by. I appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to speak with us.
Thank you, Terry.
You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.